ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
Have you ever glued two pieces of wood together, let it dry, and then try to pull it apart? What do you have? All kinds of splinters and jagged wood, and it's just a mess. That's why God hates divorce. It destroys lives. God never intended it that way. In Malachi 2:16, we're told, "For the Lord God of Israel says that he hates divorce, for it covers one's garment with violence, says the Lord of hosts. Therefore, take heed to your spirit that you do not deal treacherously." Now, we take a vow before God in marriage, and we need to understand it's till death do us part. I'm not advocating killing your spouse if you want to get rid of them, okay? Sometimes you may feel that way. Is marriage always easy? No. You know why? Because we're two different individuals. I mean, think about it. I mean, my wife and I are so different. I mean, I'm always in competition. It's kind of bizarre. It's just me. You know, we'll be sitting on the sofa. It's time to go to bed. I'll beat you upstairs. It's kind of silly. I don't know why I do. I pray for me. I like things organized. I do. My wife doesn't care. She puts things wherever she wants. Do you want me to reorganize your desk, honey? No, I know where everything's at. How do you know where everything's at? Everything's all over the place. She knows where it's at. We're two different people. And you know what? For my wife and I, we grew up together. I mean, we were just kids. She was 18, I was 20. We grew up together. And now we know each other's idiosyncrasies. I can't imagine anyone putting up with either one of us. We have our idiosyncrasies. They're crazy. But we know each other. And you have to learn to be flexible. You have to learn to not make a mountain out of a molehill. Some things are just not that important. You work together. If you care that much for your spouse, then hopefully you do. If not, you got to bring that before the Lord. And I kind of like the illustration of a triangle. Picture a triangle with God at the point. You're at one end, your spouse is at the other. And as you draw closer to God, you're drawing closer to each other. But as soon as someone starts moving away from God, what happens? You're moving away from your spouse. So if there's problems within a marriage relationship, maybe you need to come before God. And I've seen that. You know, I've done enough marriage counseling. And, you know, the hardest part with marriage counseling is, you know, the past. No one wants to let go. But if you want to get past that and go forward, you better let go of that past, because there's nothing you can do about it. Do you want to move on and start afresh right now? But it's hard. I spend a lot of time. And in the end, they go, "Well, as soon as they change, I'll change." Well, that's not the issue. It's never going to happen. You can't change him. You can't change her. But you can change yourself. And that's the key. What if she doesn't change? What if he doesn't change? That's between them and God. You're the only one who can change yourself by surrendering to the Lord and doing what he wants. And here's the thing, and I want to be clear on this. A wife doesn't stay in a situation where she's a punching bag. I'm sorry, that's wrong. I think, you know, that's the reason Paul says, but if she does depart, she gets away from that situation. Hopefully he gets some help, some counseling, so there could be reconciliation within the marriage. It's not a time to go and look for another husband. Paul says, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. That's what we pray for, reconciliation. Again, people have all kinds of crazy ideas. You know, God just doesn't want me to be married to this person anymore, or God brought me someone better. Don't blame God. You remind me of Jacob when he's fooling his father Isaac. pretending to be his brother Esau. How did you get that food so quickly, that game so quickly? Oh, God, help me. Oh, you're blaming God. People do that. Why? Because it eases their consciousness. God's the one that brought this on. He brought this woman into my life. Even for sexual immorality, Jesus didn't command divorce. He permitted it. Let me also say this. Divorce is not the unpardonable sin. We need to understand that. Some have made it the unpardonable sin, and they're so harsh and nasty towards people that have been divorced. No. You don't know the situation, and you don't know the circumstances, so be careful. Can we love people? Can we reach out to them? Yeah, it may not have been the perfect or the right thing to do. But have you ever done anything in your Christian life that was wrong? We all have. So, I mean, come on, we got to be careful with that too. Well, Paul's going to move on here. He's going to speak about those Christians who are married to unbelievers and want to remain married. Look at back in 1 Corinthians 7, look at verse 12. But to the rest, I, not the Lord, say, if any brother has a wife who does not believe and she is willing to live with him, let him not divorce her. And a woman who has a husband who does not believe, if he is willing to live with her, let her not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but now they are holy. Now, Paul opens up this section by speaking of a different group of people. And the reason I say that is because he says, but to the rest. He spoke about couples whose both partners were Christians. Now the focus has changed to where one of them in this relationship is a Christian, the other is not. What should you do? Please, first of all, understand this is not Paul's opinion. Why do I say that? Because Paul said, but to the rest I, not the Lord, say. And they say, well, this is just Paul's feelings here. Well, first of all, was Paul inspired by the Holy Spirit? Absolutely. Well, what does he mean here? He's saying, look, when the Lord Jesus was on the earth, he didn't specifically deal with this issue. But again, Paul was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write these words. In 1 Corinthians 7:40, Paul makes that point clear. He says, and I think also I have the Spirit of God. Absolutely. Well, a Christian who is married to an unbeliever, how does divorce fit in this relationship? Again, these people, for the most part, came to Christ after they were married. One of them did, their spouse did not. Paul's not advocating or encouraging the dating of or marriage to unsaved people. That's not scriptural. There's, you know, not, you know, missionary dating, you know, where you date an unbeliever. Here's the thing, you're unequally yoked. Have you ever put, I don't know, a sheepdog and an ox on the same yoke and tried to plow a field? It's not going to work. They're unequally yoked. You need two oxes or whatever, right? In 2 Corinthians 6, verses 14 through 18, this is what Paul said. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Baal? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Paul's point is, look, if you are married to an unbeliever, remain together, because the blessings that God is pouring out on you will be felt by the unbelieving spouse. And they might turn to the Lord. They might get saved. But don't go dating an unbeliever. You know, that was one thing that my wife was a Christian before I became a Christian, and she was a Christian before we got married. I hindered her walk with God because I really didn't care. I didn't really want to go to church. I didn't believe in God. I believed in evolution. I believed in all that other garbage. So I hindered her walk. She was not doing what was right. And God was gracious and merciful. I came to know the Lord. But I remember Pastor Chuck saying, if you think you can get away with dating an unbeliever and marrying an unbeliever, come to my office when our pastors are doing counseling with couples that have been married to unbelievers and the struggles that they're having. I guarantee you, before you get married, they will go anywhere with you, the unbeliever, because they're dating you. They want to marry you. They'll do anything. Once you're married, forget about it. You got to be wise. So if you're married to an unbeliever, remain together. You got the unbeliever gets blessed. But if the unbelieving spouse wants a divorce, what are you going to do about it? There's nothing you can do. But let me also say this. Don't make their life so miserable that anyone would want to divorce you, okay? Because you are just, you know, if you Jesus them all the time, it's going to drive them nuts. They open up their lunch bag, there's big Bible verses, there's turn or burn cards in there. And, you know, no, love them. That's one thing I have to say about Julie is before I got saved, she never beat me over the head with the Bible. She never left Bible verses anywhere. When I had a question, she was more than happy to answer it. That was that just ministered to me tremendously. Because day in and day out, it would be hard to hear that as an unbeliever. So be careful. You know, you bless them, you make them feel that they are loved, and see what God can do. And again, you think, well, why should they remain with an unbelieving spouse? Well, Paul answers that. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. It doesn't mean that the unbeliever is saved because of that, because it's not scriptural. The word sanctified is a Greek word, hagios. It means set apart. And I think what Paul is basically saying is that an unbeliever who is married to a Christian, again, has special blessings that come from the believing spouse. As God blesses the believer, the unbelieving spouse benefits. And, you know, maybe that he comes to know the Lord or she comes to know the Lord through that. I like what Peter said, 1 Peter 3, verses 1 through 5. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. Isn't it interesting how much money we spend on the outward appearance, and we don't take any time on the inward? I don't know about you, but I've changed since I was 17. I don't look the same. None of us do. But you look at some people and the money that is spent. I mean, I've seen some people that have had plastic surgery. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's grotesque. You can only pull the face so far, man. I thought I saw a belly button on someone's forehead. How high are you pulling that thing? And you know what? What happens is in these relationships, their marriages end up falling apart. Why? Because it's just outward beauty. And there's always someone prettier, taller, or skinnier, this or that. You haven't developed an inward relationship with your spouse. Because that'll last a lifetime. What happens if your spouse gets injured? What happens if your spouse gets sick? Are you going to leave them? Are you going to walk away from them? Well, that's not a real relationship. You got to build up that inner man, because that inner man, that relationship with God is going to help you live out your faith. One more point here. Paul also said this. He said, otherwise your children would be unclean, but now they are holy. What is that about? You know, if you're married to a believing spouse, that the children are saved? No, again, that's not scriptural. Again, I think, you know, many times Christian women who are married to unbelievers want to leave them, and the reason being, they're afraid that the children will be defiled by what they see in the life of their pagan father. But Paul wants to be clear. he's basically saying to these believing spouses is, look, don't worry about the children being defiled by the unbelieving parent. The opposite is true. Light is always more powerful than darkness. You know, let them see the light of God shine in your life, and it will expose and dispel the darkness. You know, in a loving way, you never put down your spouse, but you love them. Let your children see that you love your spouse, you love God, and what an influence you are on your children. Let them see how you live out your life, your faith, that you're going to blow it. You're going to do things that aren't going to be correct sometimes. Say, you know what? I was wrong there. This is what God says I should be doing, and I didn't do it, and I'm wrong. And now I ask God to forgive me. You see the lesson? They're not seeing a perfect parent. They're seeing a real parent. Well, this last section deals with those who are married to unbelievers and want to leave their marriage. And this is what Paul says starting in verse 15. But if the unbeliever departs, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. For how do you know, O wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, O husband, whether you will save your wife? Again, we've kind of talked about this a little already, but if you're married to an unbeliever, don't make their life so miserable that anyone would want to leave you. You love them, you care for them, as Christ has called you to. But many times, as one in this relationship gets saved, and you know they may have been horrible, but now they're a loving and caring spouse, and the other person doesn't want anything to do with this Jesus freak now. Goes to church, Bible studies. No. Why? Because the light exposes the darkness. Light and darkness don't mix. And sometimes it doesn't matter how nice you treat them. It's just too much for them and they leave. The key is you don't leave them. They leave you. And, you know, I've seen this played out. There was a woman who used to come to church here. She moved out of town now. But she is married to an unbelieving husband for years. And she continues to love him and pray for him. And you know what she does? And I tip my hat to her on this. She asks him if she can go to Bible studies or, you know, women's study or women's conferences or whatever. I think, well, that's crazy. That's outrageous. But put yourself in the husband's position. He doesn't want to go to these studies. And all she's doing is, honey, is it okay if I go? And you know what? Most of the time he says, yeah, fine. And if he says no, there's a reason for it. And we're praying for him. He is a nice guy. I just pray one day he takes that step and he comes to that saving faith. It's kind of tragic. One of the complaints against heathen or the heathens against Christians, the early Christians, is that they broke up families, tampering with domestic relationships. You know, they believer gets saved, they divorce their unbelieving spouse. Here's the thing. We're not only a light to our spouses. We're not only a light to our families. We're a light to the world. The world's looking at our marriages. And we have to shine brightly. They don't know what marriage is anymore. And it's kind of sad, you know, people look to Hollywood to see what marriages are like. Are you kidding me? Are you nuts? But they should be looking at our lives. And that's something that, you know, I worked as a nurse for many years, and I worked mostly with women, probably 95% women. But they always knew I was married. They always knew I loved my wife, and they always saw pictures of my wife. And that was a witness to them. They knew who Julie was before they even met her. And people should be aware of our marriages, how much we love our spouse. Because as our light shines brightly in this dark world, we glorify our Father in heaven. Let your light shine. Now, we're not going to finish up this chapter tonight because there's a lot in here. We'll do it next time. But, you know, this whole subject on marriage and divorce is tough. And hopefully I answered some of the questions in regard to this topic. But it's tough, especially in the days we're living in. If we get our focus off of self and start focusing on the Lord, it's amazing what God can do in relationships. Not just marriage relationships, all relationships. The world is attacking the family today at such an alarming rate, guys, that we don't even know what a family is anymore. You know, I just saw a post on Facebook At first I thought it was a guy that just had a really big belly, but it was actually a woman who was getting hormones and got pregnant. And the basic quotation was something about man having a baby. No, man was not having a baby. This is a woman. She will always be a woman. Check the chromosomes. This is science. Okay, this isn't fairy tales. Because really, if we could be anything we want to be, I want to be 17 again. Not going to happen. What are you laughing at? You look 18? I don't know if I want to be 60, but I am. The reality. Let's look at what God's word has to say, apply it to our lives, and see what God can do in our lives. It's an amazing thing. God's word is living and powerful. It's able to transform our lives. And the wonderful thing is, we aren't married to robots. We're married to a person who has their own ideas. They have free will. And we should be thankful for that. I realize that with the whole AI stuff, we're working our ways to getting rid of human relationships, and now we're going to start having relationships with artificial intelligence. They're robots. They can't love you. My wife loves me in spite of myself. You guys only see me when I'm up here, right? You don't see my dirty laundry at home. She puts up with it because she loves me. She has a free will, and I have a free will, and we love each other. And isn't that what God has given to us with our relationship with Him, a free will? And He's given us that free will with each other. And I'll tell you what, you want your relationship to grow, draw close to God, but you have to tend the garden, especially you guys. You can plant a beautiful garden, but if you don't tend it, weeds will grow. You don't water it, it's going to dry up. But when you tend the garden, it just blossoms. And that's what you need to do in a marriage relationship. Too often, you know, we get married and, hey, contract signed, it's a done deal. Are you kidding me? My wife and I, we have date days. And I'm not perfect on this, but we try to take Friday as our date day that we spend together. Well, she's pretty gracious. She, you know, I've got a teaching in Appleton at a men's group in April, Lord willing. We'll see how the surgery goes, but she allows me to do that from time to time. But you know what? You need that time together. I could spend my time doing church stuff 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and I still wouldn't be done. Or I can take the time, and guess what? I'm still not done. It's the same thing. I get done the things I need to. In almost 24 years of teaching, I've never missed a study because I didn't finish it. I'm amazed at that. You guys may not be, but I am amazed because I was working full time. I don't even know how I did it. But God is gracious and merciful. Take time with your spouse. Date your spouse. I know that's kind of weird. I'm married. Date her. Yes! She'll love you for it. Because you take the time to be with her alone. Get to talk with her. I know I'm getting you guys in trouble, but that's okay. That's a good thing. You know, our marriages as well as our lives need to be a light to a world that is so confused about how to live. May we do that. May we shine brightly. Not be ashamed of what we have, but let people see what we have so they can desire to have what we have. It's as simple as that. It's not real complicated, but I tend to get in the way. We all get in the way of what God wants many times. It's called surrender. Lord, not my will, your will be done. Help me to be a better husband, to be a better wife, that we can grow together in our relationship with each other and with you. Let's pray. Father, again, tough subject, but Lord, you're pretty straightforward here. You don't pull any punches. You just say it like it is. And Lord, I just pray that we take it to heart and we pray about these things and apply these things to our lives. And if there's anyone here listening on the radio, the internet, that may be struggling in their marriage relationship, Lord, I just pray for them. Lord, that you bring healing, you bring reconciliation. And for all of us, Lord, we just pray that we continue to grow in our relationship with you. Because, Lord, if we do, as we keep our eyes focused upon you, we know our marriages will also grow and blossom. But may we take that time to be with our spouse, to spend that time together, to get to know each other more and more. And, Lord, just to tell each other that we love each other. We thank you, Lord, for just all that you've given to us, the blessings, Lord. And, Lord, we just want to shine. In Jesus' name, amen.
To the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.